Now, Ezekiel was a priest that lived among the Israelite exiles in the country of Babylon, also called the land of the Chaldeans. And when the Lord called Ezekiel to be his prophet, he appeared to Ezekiel in this grand vision. You may remember with the four cherubs that were flying and the four wheels within a wheel. And though that vision is recorded for us in the first chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel tells us when he saw this great vision of the Lord, that when he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, he fell down on his face before the Lord. And that is where our sermon text begins this morning. We turn to Ezekiel chapter 2 and read verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 3. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. The briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly, and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you." So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Well, here in chapter 2, God calls Ezekiel to speak his word to the people. And the word that God gave Ezekiel to speak was bittersweet and powerful. And the same is true of the word that God gives you and me to speak as he sends us out to share his word and be his witnesses to the world. Now, there are a number of similarities between what God has called you and me to do and what God called Ezekiel to do. First, Ezekiel was sent by God. Now, while we have not received a direct commission from the mouth of God in a vision, we have Jesus' instructions to go and make disciples of all nations, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to preach the gospel to every creature. You and I are no less sent by God than was Ezekiel. But instead of a vision, Ezekiel sends you through his word written down for us in the Bible. Now we see that Ezekiel was sent to speak God's words. He was sent to say, "Thus says the Lord God." And God told them, "You shall speak my words to them." And that is very important. Ezekiel was not to bring his own words to the people, but the word of God. In the same way, you are sent to speak God's word to the world. While you do not have a direct message from the mouth of God through direct revelation, you have the revealed, inspired word of God written down in the Bible for you to share with the world. The word that we speak is also the word of God. Now, when you read the Old Testament, Over and over, you see the phrase, "Thus says the Lord," followed by a direct message from God. Ezekiel could say, "Thus says the Lord God," because God gave him the very words to say. And when you share what the Bible says, you too can say, "Thus says the Lord," because you also are speaking God's word. "Thus says the Lord, you have sinned against me. Thus says the Lord, I forgive you for all your sins because I sent my one and only Son to be the perfect sacrifice to take away your sins." Now, when God sent Ezekiel, he gave him a warning. He said, "I am sending you to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children." Twice more, as he calls Ezekiel, he tells Ezekiel that he's going to a rebellious people. Is that any different from us? We too are sent to a rebellious people. For each of us, by nature, rebel against God. We all have turned away, and each of us have gone our own way. And we all have sinful flesh that rebels against God and against His Word. And the people to whom we will speak are no different than we are. But God tells Ezekiel in verse 6, "Do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words." And that is the same thing that God tells you. You should not be afraid, because it is God who has sent you with His word. God repeats His command to Ezekiel in verse 6, "Do not be afraid of their words," and then adds, "or be dismayed by their looks." Literally, faces. Dismayed by their looks, by their faces. Do words and looks seem like something that we or Ezekiel should really worry about? You're probably familiar with the nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." So why should we care about someone's words or the looks that they give us? But isn't that often what we are worried about? Isn't that why it's so often easier not to say anything than to speak up and share what God's word says and risk getting a dirty look or someone saying something against us? And not only that, aren't we worried about what people might think, much less what they may do or say? Well, we are not alone in this fear. Evidently, it was a fear that Ezekiel had as well, as God encourages him over and over again not to be afraid of the people, of their words or their looks. Now, over the past several years, we've seen that it is much more than words or looks that people can face. Several years back, I remember hearing many stories of Christians being beheaded in different nations. And even our brothers and sisters around the world, like in India, have faced more than that. We've had, like Jody Benjamin, has had false police reports filed against him. And just a couple of weeks ago, a meeting where he was speaking to 15 pastors was raided by 60 Hindu radicals that beat them and stole their phones and stole the computer equipment that they were using. And Ezekiel also would face more than just words and looks. As God tells him, "Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid." These briars and thorns and scorpions are a picture of the persecution that Ezekiel would face. But God was with Ezekiel, and He is with you as well. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do to me?" Now, in this commission, God twice tells Ezekiel something that I find rather interesting. In verse 5, He says, "As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And again in verse 7, God says, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse. No matter what the response would be, Ezekiel was still to go to the people and speak God's word to them. And the same is true of you. Someone may listen to you, or they may refuse to hear what God has to say through you. But God still wants you to tell them what he has done for them by sending his son Jesus to die for their sin. This also shows us that neither we nor Ezekiel are responsible for making someone listen. We are to speak God's word whether they will hear or whether they will refuse to hear. Now, of course, we are not to speak God's word in an arrogant or condescending manner. God tells us to speak the truth in love. But the reception that we get is not based on our eloquence or lack thereof, but on the hardness of a person's heart and on God opening their ear to hear his word. But still, at times, we can be reluctant to speak God's word. And what God tells Ezekiel to do here can help us as well. In verse 8, God tells Ezekiel, open your mouth, eat what I give you. And then Ezekiel saw God offering him a scroll of a book rolled out in his hand, with writing on the inside and on the outside. Again, God said, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll and go, speak to the house of Israel. Eating the scroll was preparation for Ezekiel's work for his ministry. God told him in verse 3 of chapter 3, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. This scroll was a visible manifestation of the word of God that Ezekiel was to bring to the people. He was to fill himself with God's word so that he would be able to then speak it. It is feasting on God's word that will enable you and me to share God's word. And that is what you do each week as you come to church and hear the Bible readings and listen to the sermon. That's what you do when you attend Bible classes and when you read the Bible and listen to the Bible throughout the week. You are filling your stomach with God's word. Now that's a rather interesting picture, isn't it? It shows us exactly how important God's word is. It's as important as eating. Do you remember what Jesus said when, after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. A constant diet of God's word will give you life and will enable you to faithfully speak his word. Now, do you eat just one big meal on Sunday and not eat for the rest of the week? After a big potluck meal like we'll enjoy in a couple hours, you may make that statement. You may say, I'm not going to eat the rest of the week. But chances are you probably don't go through with that. Well, the same way, it's good to constantly feed yourself by reading and hearing God's word throughout the week. Now, Ezekiel tells us that when he ate the scroll, it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. But previous to that, in verse 10, he tells us that written on the scroll was a bitter message of lamentations and mourning and woe. Well, we too share a message that is both sweet and bitter. It's bitter because God's word tells us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of heaven. And it tells us that there is no one who is righteous, no one who does good. And it tells us that our sin only brings us death. First physical death, and then eternal death and separation from God in hell. But it's also sweet, because Because it tells us that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son to take care of our sin by dying in our place on the cross. And because Jesus died and rose again, God declares you not guilty of any and all sin and welcomes you into his eternal glory in heaven. But even the bitter message of the law that shows us our sin and condemns our sin is sweet to the believer, as the scroll of lamentation and mourning woe was sweet to Ezekiel. Our new man delights in the law of the Lord. And when someone points out our sin, we should rejoice that God is calling us back from doing something that displeases him, calling us to live as he wants us to live. And God's law gives us the ammunition we need to put to death the deeds of our sinful flesh through the Holy Spirit. And the law gives us a guide so that we know how God wants us to live, to show our thanks for the indescribable gift of salvation that he's given us through his Son. But to those who are perishing, even the sweet message of the gospel that we are saved by what Jesus has done, not by anything that we do, can be bitter. The natural man thinks they are good enough to go to heaven. The natural man doesn't think he needs a Savior. So the gospel, the sweet message that Jesus died for all, is shocking love and is foolishness to them. Now, given how bitter our message can be to the world, it may seem that our mission is hopeless. But remember, we are to go whether they will listen or whether they will refuse to listen. Because the power is not in us, but in God's word. Now, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he went around and preached, "Repent and believe the gospel." Now, is that something that any of us on our own can do? The simple answer to that is no. The Bible makes it clear we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and a dead person can do nothing. And Jesus himself said, "No one can come to me unless it has been granted by my Father." So we cannot, of ourselves, repent and believe the gospel. So how could Jesus tell people to do just that? Well, the answer is that the power is in God's word. The power is in that gospel command. And we see this demonstrated so beautifully here in this call to Ezekiel. As I said at the beginning of chapter 2, Ezekiel is flat on his face on the ground because he realized he is sinful. He cannot stand in the presence of the perfect and holy God. And God commands him at the beginning of our reading, "Son of man, stand on your feet." Does Ezekiel obey? What does he say? He tells us in verse 2, "Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet." Because Ezekiel himself could not stand before God, with the command, God gave the power and the ability to stand before him, to carry out that command. And we see the same thing with the scroll. God told Ezekiel, "Eat what I give you, and eat what you find. Eat this scroll." Again, does Ezekiel obey? What does he say in verse 2 of chapter 3? "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll." Again, God was the one who was acting here. With the command to eat, God caused Ezekiel to eat. We often talk about the Word of God being living and active and powerful, but here we see that power demonstrated so beautifully. Now, Ezekiel received another great demonstration of the power of God's Word later on in his ministry, in chapter 37. This is where God brings Ezekiel to this valley that was filled with these white, dry, dead bones. And God asked him, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "Lord, you know." So So God tells Ezekiel, speak to these bones. And he spoke. And the bones came together and formed skeletons. And then sinews and flesh came upon them. And they were now no longer dry bones, but bodies. And again, God tells Ezekiel, speak. And he speaks. And the Spirit entered them again. And all these people stood up and became living people again. That is a great picture of what we do when we speak God's word. We are speaking to people who are dead, and God, through the power of his word, makes them alive again. God has made you alive through his word. The same power that allowed Ezekiel to stand before God allows you to stand before God. The same power that allowed Ezekiel to believe and trust in God's salvation allows you to believe and trust in Jesus. And the same power that was in the words that Ezekiel spoke and the words that you speak from God. So fill yourself with God's word. Share God's word without worrying whether they will hear or whether they will refuse to hear. And do not be afraid of their looks or their words or anything else they may do, because God is with you and he has sent you. Remember that the power is not in you, but is in God's word, and it will accomplish that for which he has sent it. So may God enable you to faithfully, boldly, and confidently speak his word, for it is him who has put God, his word, in you. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ.